Welcome back to Cambridge Inside Out. I'm Judy Nathans.
And over here, I'm Robert Winters.
Right. He's always over there, and you'll see him more than me because he has so much more to say.
Actually, yeah, that's not true. I have to say, when I process the video of these for recording, I tell you the last show we did, you know, it'll give you three options for each program to choose from. And
You mean in terms of view?
Yeah, like a video graph. For the 2 half hours. So I got three for the first half hour and three for the second half hour. Yeah. And I got six Judys and no Roberts.
Oh, come on.
So I had to, I actually had to go back into the videotape
to get some of you. I did pipe in. Shot. Yeah. Well, you were very excited about some of my comments on commissions and stuff.
Yeah.
Which is still, that's going to be really interesting. We, as it gets closer, and when is that? All right. So when do we actually see the ballot?
Let me give you a little update on that since I've been going through election commission
that's
meetings
on
this.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So technically, so we have 19 candidates for city council and nine for school committee.
Okay.
The candidates actually have until Wednesday to back out, but nobody's backing out, I assure you.
Really?
So it'll be 19 and 9. And and then once that date passes, which is this Wednesday, then the I'm pretty sure, I don't know if 100% sure, but I'm sure the election commission staff has already been
preparing the.
They have to make absolutely sure that the name that appears on the ballot is exactly the name of the candidate as they want. You know, like you don't want to get an initial wrong, or if somebody wants to be called Jan rather than Janice. They have to kind of
make sure that's on the papers that they submit?
Yeah, really. So what a candidate can do is they can actually change the registration to, you know, modify their name a little bit.
Oh.
But as long as it's all in sync, and it has to be in sync, then you can actually, you know, you can go with or without. You can call yourself Joe rather than Joseph. You can, there's a lot of things you could do.
But don't you think they would have done that before, because when they got people to sign it, they want them to know them as that.
You know, that's actually, that's the staff, the elections commission staff has really gotten good at this. So when somebody comes and pulls paper and they have them fill out a card, they, while they're doing that, somebody's looking them up in the database and they're handing a sheet saying, this is how you are registered. Is this
exactly.
Are we all clear about this?
That's good.
So this way they don't have to do any kind of correction of that down the road. So they try and do it right then and there when the person's first pulling papers.
Yeah.
So but things could change. Addresses can change. You want to make sure your actual address is what's going to appear on the ballot. But now this year, everything's a little more stepped up because at the last election commission meeting, they also spoke about early voting and no excuse absentee voting, which better known as mail-in voting.
Yeah.
Right. So the state legislature did give the approval, at least through December 15th, but that covers our elections for all of this. So I believe, I mean, I'm not going to say absolutely yet because I think they're going to take a vote. They haven't officially voted, but they had provisional dates set for early voting in late October, 5 days of early voting where you can show up in person to do
and
early
And that'd be
voting.
The first time for a municipal election, right?
For a municipal election, yeah.
That's good.
There was a home rule petition from the city council asking to do early voting for some time. Now they, under the state law, they could opt out of it, but obviously if they filed a home rule petition asking for it, they're not going
to
opt out.
So this applies to any municipality in the state.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll have that. I forget exactly whether it's a maximum or minimum number of days of early voting. And I don't think they stipulate how many sites must be available, but I believe
I just hope they don't spend a fortune on it. I mean, just having 5 days, and even if it's three sites, I think that's great. We're not that big a city. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. Now, then there's also the mail-in. Now, one thing that not yet settled.
That
one
could be problematic, no?
Well, the way they'll do it is pretty much the way it was
done drop
last year.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, or by regular U.S. Postal.
Well.
But the way, I think the drop boxes were there to reassure people that don't worry, it really is going right in there.
I would do a drop box.
So would I. But yeah. I also have one right down the street for me.
Yeah, but it's not far from most people.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But it'll be the same protocol as they had in the presidential election last year, namely that you will get to you will have to request the ballot. So they will do a mailing citywide to all registered voters asking you to send in a card or go online.
As they won't send you a ballot. They'll just, you have to request it. Well, that's what it was last time, right?
Right. It's exactly right. Okay. You know, it's interesting when you listen to some of the debate going on elsewhere in the country.
Yes, because
that somehow people were viewing this as somehow voter suppression because they weren't going to mail you ballots without it being requested. And I thought, wait a minute, we've never just mailed out ballots.
We haven't, but have they done that anywhere around the country?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I could see where that could be problematic.
I think it could be very problematic. Yeah. Okay. You say, well, what's the problem? They're going to sign under pains and penalties of perjury. Well, no, right.
I could see that being problematic. Okay.
Right. So it'll be here, I believe. And again, the vote is going to take place tomorrow settle this. But I believe under the provisions of the state law, the protocol will be you will request a ballot. You can do it in a variety of ways. Mm-hmm. Then they will mail you your ballot, and then you'll fill out your ballot, sign the envelope and stick it inside another envelope, or I think, and then you will either mail it U.S. Postal Service or you'll drop it in one of the drop boxes. I believe there will be 6 of those drop boxes, places that were around last year.
Okay.
Now, one thing that I hope they have, mm-hmm. but I don't yet know if they will. Is that since all the registered voters are all within a state database, my hope is that they'll have the same, where's my ballot online tool that was available
to see last year. That's right, because some people didn't get it. Okay.
And it's not clear whether that will be available. I believe that they can switch it on, and there was at least some evidence to suggest that they were going to, because they had put in 2021, they changed the date to 2021 on the state one. So that suggests that they may actually be turning it on.
But even if they don't, I just feel like it's not that hard, especially if you're gonna have 5 days of early voting to just get out and vote.
No, it's gonna be very easy to vote. And I think, I'm sure a lot of people, myself included, will actually just go to the polls this year. But there's a lot of speculation going on around town right now about, well, how do you think this is going to affect, how do you think is going to affect the voter turnout? Will it go up?
I heard think
one
it will.
Political consultant thought it was going to go up by 30 some odd percent. I'm very doubtful about that, but I could see it going up. Yeah.
The population's gone up. So, and more access to the ballot, and also all these interested groups now that are going to get mobilized by, various counselors. It's going to be, wasn't it a record turnout last time?
Yeah, so that.
Wait a minute.
Right, so, but the last.
Not last year, time 20, I'm talking about the municipal.
No, I mean.
It was not a record turnout?
Oh, no, not even close.
2019, was it?
No. In years gone by, quite a few years ago, I remember when I was first voting in the early 1980s or late 70s, mm-hmm. I guess the early 80s here. Voter turnout was, you might have you have well up into the 20,000 something or other. It could have been pushing 30,000. There have been elections where there were like 32 or 33,000 people voting.
So what's that percentage election then? That would be 33%, like if the population was smaller then.
And it was smaller and more people voted then.
Okay, so that sounds like a 30% rate. Sounds right. Like. Okay, so what was it the last time?
The history, I probably should have a graph of that this maybe some other time.
All right.
But the numbers actually went down as low as about 13,000 people voting in 2001, I believe. And then it jumped up in 2013 because it was a ballot question there.
Oh.
And then it kind of crept around. But, basically post-rent control, there was lot of people who had, their incentive to vote was less so than during the rent control days.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Less skin in the game, as they say.
Yeah.
And so it kind of really slugged along for a while there. And then it was hanging around maybe 17,000-18,000 for a number of years.
Right, and I remember that figure. Yeah.
Then it was, I think, four years ago, it jumped up to about 22,000.
22,000. Okay.
Yeah, that was a year where there were a lot of candidates and a lot of new interesting candidates going. It was also a year when a lot of younger voters chose to come out to vote.
Okay.
And that added to the overall numbers. And also kind of changed it, to some degree, the nature of who got elected. Last year, the last municipal election, 2019, the numbers were actually comparable to the 2017. We were still up close to 22,000. So the question is that going to drop off some, or is that going to go up? Or is
it going to stay more or less the same? I wonder if the 2017 that you're referring to, that was after Trump got elected.
Yeah, now we're talking, there are causes and effects. Yeah.
Right. So people were mobilized. Oh, my vote, I better vote. We've got to do anything we can. It means voting these counts or whatever.
I mean, 2017 election brought out a record number of women candidates.
That's right. Across the country, too. Well, not just.
And it mobilized people, and people said, we better start taking this crap seriously.
More seriously, right?
Yeah,
that's right. And that's continued to some extent, because 2019, he was still president.
Right. So, and I would say that the 2020 election is
an
election for the ages.
Yeah.
It motivated a lot of people to vote in the presidential election
for reasons that
I don't think we need to explain.
No.
Now, how much of that carries over into this year? I don't
know. Well, there's so much, with the climate change report, with COVID, with everything.
Right. How much disruption in terms of who's living here, actually living here.
Right.
But even if they're not living here, they could be out in Kansas, but still be registered to vote here and have a legal residency here. In which case, if they could, I believe they could then still get a ballot application and be targeted. One other factor, again, not to get too nerdy about this, is that... You can really see it over across the river in Boston. There are five mayoral candidates, and now, as of a couple of days ago, all five of them now have an independent expenditure political action committee raising significant money and spending. Well, at least in one case, already spending significant money. I remember you got about just shy of a month before
they have a primary
or the preliminary election happens September 14th, I believe.
Oh, wow.
It's funny how I know a lot about this stuff, and then there's some obvious things I didn't know. I knew that in Boston, you could have as many candidates running for mayor as you wish, but the top two, and party designation is irrelevant.
Uh-huh.
The top two would go head to head in the November election. I remember that from when Ray Flynn went against Mel King.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Yeah.
Huh. But then I said, well, how do they do it in Somerville? I said, geez, I don't know. But that's how they do it in Somerville, too.
Really?
So they've got, I think, about four, could be more, candidates running.
So is that going to be also on the 14th, do you know?
Yes.
Oh, yes. So both Somerville and
Boston are pretty much parallel in this regard.
Wow.
And, it's, in Somerville, I think it'll be a matter of, it's sort of like the, the townie people versus some of the progressives, but the progressives are sort of divided into the uber progressives.
But the townie people, isn't it that only that one guy that's sort of a townie person and he's questionable?
Well, right. But no, but
are there some other townie type people?
Yeah, I think more townie.
I haven't heard that many. Okay.
But they're not kind of right wing townie at all.
Good. Well, that's good.
So I don't know I don't know enough about the dynamics of how that's going to shape up in Somerville.
Wow.
I am kind of curious to see, partly as a sort of a person who dabbles in different voting systems, how it's going to shake out in Boston.
Yeah.
Because, it's not completely out of the question that John Barros and Andrea Campbell and Kim Janey, who are three Black candidates, could. Barros doesn't have big numbers, but the others could
John
split
Barros
the votes pretty
right. African American. I thought he was Hispanic. No. Okay.
He's
sort of mixed.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So anyway, kind of
people
loosely fits into the category.
Right. Okay.
But there could be some real splitting of that vote. And, Sabi George is not that high in the polls right now, but I think she has some support in, you know, some of the, you know, the West Roxbury, Hyde Park parts of town. And
what about her numbers,
her polling right now actually may be understating what actual support is out there.
Okay.
I think the uber progressives tend to go more for Michelle Wu right now.
Yes, yes.
But, you know, it's a very real possibility that the vote splitting could actually, you could, I don't think it'll happen this way, but it's not out of the question. You could end up with Wu versus Asabi George going against each other in the general election come November.
There's no Republicans running at all?
It's nonpartisan election and there are no,
there's nobody.
I'm sure they're all Democrats, but if they were, one of them was a Republican, I'm sure people would talk about it, but it wouldn't prevent them from running in the election.
Okay.
So anyway, I'm curious to see how that all plays out. I think that what we saw happen in New York City and how that mayoral election took place.
It's too bad it's not ranked choice. It isn't, right? It's just the top two.
So it's a top two runoff system, which is sort of a kind of a crazy alternative.
I think Chicago had that too.
A lot of places do, you know, and a lot of the states, southern states, have that quite generally. You have to, if no candidate gets an outright majority, then you go to very soon thereafter, they go to a top two runoff.
Okay.
You know, so anyway, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out because, you know, this, in addition to the individual candidates, who wins, who loses, there's also statements about, you know, the sort of the underlying movements and to see, you know, who's really got deeper support. If you watch cable news or something, you might think we're having a war of the ages against, you know, with the socialists or whatever.
Right.
I don't think that's really a good way to look at it all, but, you know, you can see some of the sort of ultra progressives, you know, in New York City, they didn't have the upper hand in the end.
Right.
I think people were much more interested in sort of more traditional things like, you know, I'm kind of like to feel safe outside, you know?
I just looked up the mayoral in Somerville, because it's Mary Casesso, who is what you would call more, she's grown up, she's an East Somerville native,
worked in the
city, Cambridge Health Alliance. So
yeah,
she, I think, would represent more of a kind of middle ground type moderate approach.
It could, you know, but the name of the game is getting to the top, to be one of the one of the candidates in the top two.
Right.
Yeah. So, and vote splitting is a real thing. So, you know, it'll be
interesting. There's another woman too that's similar, whatever. So that's going to be interesting. We'll have to follow that too.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, back to Cambridge.
You know,
where we do have independent expenditure PACs, which I believe will try very hard to play an outsized role in the coming election.
But nothing like, but
not each, of the same scale.
But a candidate doesn't do it. They're not doing it.
No, because we are also running a proportional representation.
Right, it's a whole different thing.
A multi-member body rather than an individual.
That's good point. And when it's not a mayoral race.
Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you my biggest fear, if I didn't mention on the previous program, but I'll say it again, is that my biggest fear is that once they have settled on the early voting dates and the mail-in dates, when all that stuff can commence, the political campaigns for the organizations and, you know, the candidates, individual candidates, as well as some of the organizations will then do what they always do, which is to backtrack in the calendar and then decide when the most strategic time it is to send out the big heavy duty, well-funded mailings, but basically say, if you don't, you know, they sometimes take on an almost ominous tone. If you don't vote for our guys, you'll be thrown out of your homes or the sky will fall whatever. But there's a certain point of view that politically that says that's how you get people's attention. And especially as some of the political consultants like to call it, the low information voters who don't really know a whole lot about what goes on in the city.
But don't, you know, those low information voters aren't necessarily, don't equate that with not educated and all that stuff.
Because it's not a matter of education.
No, it's that people aren't you know, these political, you know, junkies pay attention Harvard to stuff like you do and I do, you know.
There are a lot of Harvard students who are amongst the low information voters when it comes to municipal.
And there's
elections,
a lot of longtime Cambridge residents that live in West Cambridge or live, you know, and do volunteer work and do everything else. And they don't know any of this stuff.
So, so the dynamic in years past might have been where the Cambridge Civic Association would wait until right before the election. They would send out just a simple card. It says, this is our slate. We have a reputation. You know who we are.
Yeah.
We are, they used to call that the good housekeeping seal of approval.
Oh, goodness.
And there were many many voters who really didn't have the time or desire to get too involved in any of the local political stuff.
Right.
And they really depended on getting that card as an information source to know who to vote for.
How about your candidate pages? I mean, you don't tell them who to, but you have all the information there.
Well, I started setting up the candidate pages as that was always about leveling the playing field.
Right. So gave everybody a chance to say, here, this is a place you can show me your stuff. I don't edit it unless it's really, you know, awful.
It's really over the top, right.
Not awful unless it's cursed and all that.
Yeah. But the idea there is that it's not dependent on how much money you have.
That's
and it's not dependent on which organization is basically bankrolling you or pushing you. You know, it's your opportunity as an individual to, you know, be on the same footing as everyone else. And that's why it's the same design, same color, same everything. Right. It's got to be as uniform as I can do. I let people, you know, if they want to throw in a little logos and whatever, that's fine. But, you know, it's and some do a better job than others. So, you know, some don't do such a great job and some people don't answer at all. And that's fine, too, I guess. But, you know, it's anyway, my concern, and it's a real concern, I'll say, is that, you know, what you do is you wait until it's too late for anybody to respond, to basically put out a lot of alarmist crap and basically say, you got to vote for our guys or else the sky will fall.
Yeah, right.
And that I don't want to see. I mean, one of the things people would say about ranked choice voting and proportional representation elections is you were dependent on getting those number twos and threes. So it deterred negative campaigning. It actually was an incentive for you to, you know, be a little more kind-hearted in
to your fellow candidates.
But if you have an organization, the organization...
They don't care about that. Yeah.
Well, I mean, maybe they do, but they're really just trying to get everybody to vote for their people on their slate.
Right.
You know, and, you know, and if the one thing, if you're just putting out truth, you know, that's great. Fair game, you know, but it's another thing if you're waiting for, and just timing things for maximum electoral impact.
Right.
Just because you can.
Right.
And you got a lot of money, you know, so
I
worry about things like that, you know,
it's, you know, with social media now, I mean, we haven't, I mean, obviously in the last three election cycles, even four of, you know, city elections, social media. I mean, you don't need a whole lot of money if you really know how to use, although that doesn't appeal to everybody. Not everyone likes to go on Twitter and all that stuff, but, and still the bottom line is people knocking on doors, you know, I mean, that really does make a difference. Retail politics, you know?
Yeah. So I think it's a little bit different and more challenging in sort of in our, you know, we still have a bit of a pandemic lingering on.
We do, but it's right. But I know I was listening to Alana and Zumbel's Women Are Here podcast, and they're out there knocking on doors.
Now you see people doing it, you know, and I see the discarded handbills on the ground from.
I haven't seen. Says, oh, I haven't.
I see. Seen. I see them around.
Yeah.
So some of the traditional campaigning will be certainly around.
Yeah.
One of the things that I've been definitely seeing is that, and I don't know much about how this really works, but if you pay money to Facebook, you get basically you get your thing just shows up at the top of everybody's news.
Well, that's always been true. I mean, you can always pay for better.
Yeah. But I get my point is only that more candidates seem to be trying to do that.
Well, why not?
You know? And I don't know how much it costs. It probably costs some significant amount of money to be.
Yeah,
doing
but
that.
Then. Costs money to mail things out. It costs money to
hire.
I don't know what.
And you don't want to lose, especially if you're an incumbent too.
Right.
So you know, so I'm definitely seeing that. You know, there's been a lot of money raised. I don't know if I necessarily want to go into all of that here right now, but you know, there are some candidates who
we have a few minutes left. 2 minutes left.
But already they've, you know, they're breaking $40,000 raised so far.
Huh.
And you know, I used to have kind of. From my view, if you're running a school committee election,
Yeah.
You know, you probably want to, you know, ballpark it at around 10 grand. Election, I think for city council elections, probably 30 or ish. Run on a shoestring, you can get elected on less than 10.
I know. Well, look what happened to Paul Toner last time. $70,000.
So he spent a lot of money, didn't win.
I hope he doesn't do that this time. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I think it's one thing if you want to raise a lot of money and spend a lot of money, that's great. But that's ultimately not the one, the be all end all of how you get elected.
Exactly. Well, hopefully.
You know, not anymore, really.
That's too much.
I mean, if you're, on the other hand, if you're spending your money wisely and you have a campaign person who's really just an absolute pro at reaching whatever target you've set.
That's where your money's going to that.
Then you can use your money effectively to do that. But they still have to sell good product.
Yeah, they probably wouldn't get hired again, or they shouldn't be if they didn't.
Well, they'll end up as unless they were doing it professionally, they'll end up as a city council aide. That's kind of like the main road toward that job description, is to work on somebody's campaign.
Well, that's a good point.
Yeah, and that's been that way for some time. So,
all right, we have
actually
a minute
one last
left.
Thing I wanted to mention here, and I'll just sort of say it kind of quickly.
Yeah, do it. It's a
big topic. Quite honestly, it said the U.S. Census information came out this past week, and I'm not going to get into it.
We only have like a half a minute, so
right. Yeah. So the population of Cambridge has definitely said it jumped up to 118,000. Mm-hmm. I'll just say it. I won't quote the numbers here, but I've been compiling the numbers for what that means in terms of housing units, subsidized housing units, and more. And it's very hard getting all this information exactly right, though, because as I've learned here, Cambridge counts subsidized housing units differently than other cities. And it's like, boy. Anyway.
Well, we'll have a better.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm tracking that really close.
So I'm not going to be here on September 7th. Maybe Robert is. But
we may have a pre-record or another show, but we'll see you again soon.
All right.